Okay, members, Representative Haas, we're going to work off your bill as the vehicle for this higher education bill. So
works for me. I'm
glad to move the 1834 or 1835 be recommended to pass, and we refer it to finance. And Representative Haas will move the A1 amendment, which is the higher education portion of the bill. And we'll go through that first, members, and then we'll jump from there to the... And by the way, I intend to just go through this, and I'm going to use the spreadsheet instead of the bill itself for members. And we will just go through the bill, and then we're going to have... we'll just go into recess, and we'll come back after the Republicans and everybody else has had a chance to look at it.
Mr. Chair.
And so we'll be at 400 North at 4:30. When we walk through the bill, we can have questions asked and anything else. And then at 4 o'clock or 4:30, we'll offer amendments or accept amendments. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, do you have the other portion of the bill that we could see, please, right now?
We'll be handing out the economic development side to
right now? Okay.
Go ahead. Jeff, hand it off. I'm going to start walking through the A1 amendment. And I'm just going to go off the spreadsheet, members. So we basically cut the Office of Higher Education the exact same amount as the governor recommended at 162 or 141 and then 162 for the biennium. 158. The if you notice in here, I have a revenue raiser. I have a 0.06 0.6% income tax surcharge, where I am attempting to fill the hole that was never addressed by the governor in his supplemental budget of the state grant program, and the hole that's going to be in there for the second year of the biennium. And we also address with that money, we put it into the state grant program, and we put in the money necessary to pay the reciprocity with North Dakota. And basically, that is the OHE portion of the bill. That tax would sunset, I believe, in December of 2013. Hopefully things will be better by then. The State College Minscue portion of the bill, I'm just going to briefly tell you what I've done here. We've taken the governor's numbers and cut the $10.467 million. We are cutting $3 million of that from the central office. We are asking the Minscue system to take another $5 million in administration cuts, prorated through the campuses as closely as possible. And the rest of that cut, the $2.467 million, would come from campuses' allocations, and they would be making their cuts on their own recommendations. At the University of Minnesota, we are cutting the same amount as the governor, in the same numbers as the governor's. We have cut everyone proportionately, including, if you see on the spreadsheet, from the ag specials through the all the way down to the genomic partnership. And there is language in the bill that I think I'll just... Basically, what we've tried to do at the university is the same percentage cut to their central administration. So I'm just going to briefly turn it over to Ms. Novak, who maybe can point out the language that refers to that in the bill itself, or just if you just want to generically describe it, that's okay too, Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair, the writers that describe the reductions in Minscue are on page 2. The writers that describe the reduction at the University of Minnesota are on page 3. Beginning on page 4 are a few language items that the committee has heard. The first one in Section 6 on page 4 was in Representative Rukavina's bill last night. It's a notification provision. Section 7, which goes on for several pages, is the Office of Higher Ed's proposal to increase revenue bond for self-loan limits. On page 6 is the request of the Authority for Higher Education to increase revenue bond limits. Section 9 is what was adopted by this committee last night on credit transfers. Section 10 on page 6 is the Minsky revenue bond increase. It's increased at the top of page 7 to $275 million. There's a section at the end of the article that limits the use of this to state universities. Section 11 is the income tax surcharge. It's a 0.6% surcharge. Section 12 is the transfer for the Achieve Scholarship that was in Representative Nornes's bill. Section 13 is from Representative Rukavina's bill that we heard last night. It just limits transfers out of the state grant program unless there is a projected surplus. Section 15 is an amendment to something that was passed last year, sending some money to the Minnesota Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. Section 16 goes with the credit transfer. Section 17 is the section that limits the use of revenue bonds. Section 18 is a request of the Office of Higher Education that controls the carry forward for the child care and work study programs just for 2 years. Section 19 is the pilot project on depositing reserves of Minsky institutions into local community banks. And Section 21 is the repealer, and it essentially repeals the Achieve program. It repeals an unnecessary section of the student loan maximums that's been replaced. And that's the language.
Members, any? Go ahead, Representative Anderson. You want to keep walking through the other half of the bill first, or not?
Yep.
Okay. Members, you should have then an amendment, Article 284. And I'll move to I have a oral amendment here on line 1.1. It should be moved to amendment file number 1835. So I'll make that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. Members, using the spreadsheet again, we'll talk about that section of the bill on page 2 then. I've basically done, as far as the carry forward numbers, I believe, are the same as the governor's. Mr. Berg, is that not correct?
Mr. Chair, on the production of carry forward?
On the deed numbers, well, there aren't my target numbers, but let me walk through it here. Line 45, basically, I took a little more than the governor had suggested, but I think if you look at the governor's unallotments that happened this summer, it's about the same number. I don't carry those unallotments forward. And the line 46, I took a little more from the business community development operations, which would be the administration at deed. On line 48, I took a little less than the governor had recommended for the grants that go out to the business community development on the business community development program. I did not have any cuts at Enterprise Minnesota, nor at Metro or at MITA. I cut the Inventors Congress the same as the governor had recommended. I did not cut the Office of Science and Technology, nor did I cut Women's Ventures, Workforce Development. I actually did the same under the extended employment as the governor for the operations of extended employment. I took less money out of the program itself that goes out to those folks that benefit from the extended employment. Instead of cutting 686 over the biennium, as the governor recommended, I took 200 one year and then 200 each year in the out years. I did not cut the extended employment wage incentive program at all. At the Centers for Independent Living, I cut 67 in 11 and then 67 each year in the out year, which is much less than the governor had proposed. On the Job Skill Partnership Program, members, what we're doing here is taking a little bit more than the governor had proposed, but I think right now that a lot of that money is not being used, so it helped balance the targets that I had to work with. LifeTrack resources we did not cut, as the governor had recommended. We took the little operating reduction for the mentally ill supported employment, and the same numbers as the governor. Did not cut the program. We cut it much less than the governor had recommended, $47,000 a year instead of $111,000. We did not cut Minnesota Diversified Industry at all or incorporated. Northern Connections did not get cut. RISE did not get cut. State Service for the Blind, we did the same operating reduction as the governor, but we did not cut the program itself on line 76. Twin Cities RISE, we did not cut. And there are some, there's quite a reduction in the administrative operations at DEED, if you look on line 81, because I wanted to save some of those programs that were mentioned above and cut them much less than the governor. So the operations for general support services at DEED is cut a little more than the governor recommended. And now I'm moving on to page 3. Members, I took $1.5 million out of the Job Skills Partnership Program. There's a surplus. As you can see on line 85, of $6 million from 2009, I believe, Mr. Berger, 2000.
Mr. Chair, not all the $6 million is from Job Skills Partnership. I think about 4.5 of that number is 2009 Job Skills Partnership.
And so we're taking the $1.5 million one time, and the rest of it is the, you can see the governor's tornado cancellation, which we did, and the transfer in that the governor had recommended are the same. So I'm going to just keep going on the labor and industry. Again, we had to put some money in the general fund. We took $700,000 one time out of the contractor recovery program at Dolly, and $725,000 out of the assigned risk program for safety grants. And mediation services, we did the same as the governor, I believe, there. The Barber Board, we've got that Represent Gunther's bill and the revenue raiser in there for them, and the Cosmetology Board bill from the other evening, the revenues in there. And members, that is the bill. You can see what our targets were there, and I guess the only other thing I would mention on the Article 2 is there are some projects in there, from public works projects up on the Iron Range, from Pakenine taxes, and Representative Anzelt's bill. is in there. And an extension of that program that I had, which was similar to a MEAD program from last year. And I don't know if I'm missing anything else on this. Am I missing anything, Anita?
Mr. Chair and members, in Article 4 is the barber fee language and the cosmetology fee language that generates the revenue to support the appropriation. And then on the very last page of the bill are two repealers. One is just language that is stricken out of the barber statute that was picked up in the amendment that Representative Gunther put on his bill last night. And the other is an repealer to a workers' comp section for alternative healing practitioners.
Okay, members, so that's the bill, and I will open it up for questions from the committee then. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was hoping you could give us a little bit more information. We've got the income tax surtax. And do we know how much that would generate in 1 year? Is it just to that $43 million amount, or what?
What I've been told by House Research that it would raise. And I think they got that from revenue. So that's okay. A 0.06%. 0.6, excuse me.
Okay.
Revenue.
And help me remember, so is the $42 million gap, is that just for the 2010-11 biennium, or is that ongoing? I'm trying to remember.
Well, it ended up, I mean, that's what's projected through the next biennium, and in this economy, I would suspect that it might carry forward further, and that's why I sunsetted it on December 31st of 2013.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy. Excuse me, Representative Nornitz, and then Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going back to the higher ed portion, I noticed there wasn't any language dealing with the ninth semester. Did you decide not to do that, eliminating the ninth?
Well, that's why I wanted to raise the revenue, Representative Nornitz, to fill that hole so I don't have to cut that program. So as the bill currently sits, I address that by having this small revenue raiser, because I just don't really want to see the students take any more of a hit than they're taking with the $46 million in cuts that are going through our public education system here.
I just wanted to clarify okay. that, Mr. Chair.
I thought you might want to debate me on that.
Well,
obviously, you like the bill so far, don't you, Representative Moran?
I wouldn't say that, but I think there'd be less pushback if we eliminated that ninth semester rather than trying to raise taxes. That's all.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, on page 15, line 15.5, is that infrastructure that this money is going for, sewer?
Excuse me, could you mention that page again?
15. Page 15, line 15.5.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, is the infrastructure that is mentioned, is that sewer?
It's Representative Dill's request, and I believe it is just for improvements at the township. I really don't know if it's sewer and water. You'd have to ask him. I just put in what he had requested.
Thank you,
for
Mr.
a dollar
Chair.
Amount. I think it amounts to about $35,000.
And it's not what
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the income tax surtax, I don't have the sections in the subdivisions here. Is that on all income brackets, or is that a subset of earners?
Representative Downey, I'm an equal opportunity. It's on everyone that pays any. Thank you. Representative Reiner. Okay. I'm going to let us then, if I have no further questions from the committee, because nobody's seen this bill except me to this point, Representative Gunther. So I'm going to let everyone look at it. There's not much more, there's nothing more in here than what I went through in the spreadsheet, really, but I'll let everyone take a look at it, and we'll, I guess, recess then until 4:30 in room. 4 o'clock. We'll recess till 4. We'll be back in. I don't know if there's a committee members in 400 North at 4 o'clock or 4:30. So I'll say 4:30 then, and we may need to find a bigger room. I don't know if we're going to be able to. 400 North is the only room I guess we could have, so it might be a little crowded in there, but we'll see you then at 4:30 in room 400, and we're in room 400 North, and we're in recess. We're going to reconvene, members, and I apologize for the delay. There's all kinds of shenanigans going on, and I'm not at the center of it, but no, I'm not.
Chairman, where are you looking when you say that?
Pardon me?
Where are you looking when you say that?
Different places. So I apologize for that. Members, you are being handed out a B3 amendment to Article 1. It's basically a delete all to my A1. I'm withdrawing my A1 amendment. I'm offering the B3 amendment, and I'm doing it kind of with a somewhat of a reluctancy in my heart, because for all the members, you know, I really abhor the fact that the governor's supplemental budget doesn't address the $43 million in the state grant program. And I wanted to raise that money with the way I was raised, I guess, and that was with a fair income tax surcharge, which would have amounted to 0.6%, as you saw. But I guess to try to be somewhat nice and get things moving along here, and to still help what I think will help the students, I'm going to withdraw that amendment. Larry, did you offer that amendment, or did I?
You offered it with my name, I think.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll withdraw it then.
With my name.
With your name. And then I will offer the. And I will offer the. I will offer the B3 amendment, which basically the only difference in it, members, is the tax surcharge on income tax that I had in there. So there also are some changes in there regarding the state grant program. And I'm going to refer to a new spreadsheet that I don't know if others have, but
we don't have it.
I do. And so it matches the bill, and what I did basically is to address part of that shortfall, I eliminated the bridge program that Representative. For folks, this amendment is out in the hallway for those of you that are interested, the B3 amendment. I eliminated the bridge program, the ACHIEVE program, and the ninth semester, and have set a cap on the two-year and four-year for-profits that's equal to the highest MINSCU two-year institution. And Mr. Berg, help me. Am I forgetting anything else? And then I guess,
Mr. Chairman, just technically because you're getting rid of ACHIEVE, the remaining Leap Sleep federal money will go into the state grant program for the $1.3 million.
And so that's what I'm doing, members. And then I have been, I think there's somebody else that's going to talk about raising some revenue, and I don't know who's going to talk about that. But yes. So, Mr. Representative Carlson.
Well, as you know, Representative Solberg and I have been working on the issue of providing some additional revenue in another bill dealing with education that would address the remaining shortfall in the grant program. And that would be $23 million, which would bring the, or make the state grant program whole. And if Representative Solberg would want to comment on it as well, because the we were working on the issue together. We, from the very beginning, recognized that we had a major problem with the financial aid issue, and so that's the way we would resolve it. The 23 would not be in this bill, but would be in a future bill that would be taken up.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
You know, in normal times, in my legislative career, when we've had a shortfall in financial aid, as we had this time, we always handle that with a supplementary type of appropriation. There's no supplementary appropriation this year, but we are scrambling and working with yourself, other members of the legislature, Representative Carlson, myself, to attempt to come up and say this is an important thing for the students in the state of Minnesota. Additionally, Representative Carlson and I and others have met with the business community, and they have recognized and said, quite frankly, this is probably the most important thing that they can do from a business perspective. We had a very senior CEO of a major corporation say, we have to try to address this problem because this is our future workforce, and we're going to compete in Minnesota. What's happening is when people are going back to school because they're unemployed, that's exactly what we want them to do. And there is a need for us to, from the business perspective, to be able to help address that program. So we're committed to trying to our best to make this whole, and we'll be carried in another bill. And I appreciate that.
So members,
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead, Representative Carlson.
Well, one thing I did want to do is compliment Chair Rukavina, because he has made sure that this issue remained alive. And some of you may recall when I sat in an earlier meeting, he asked me a question. He said, Representative Carlson, can you remember in your time here and serving on this committee for many years where financial aid was ever cut? And my answer was no. I could not remember a time when financial aid was ever cut. And so I do want to thank Representative Rukavina for making sure that this issue was given attention.
Well, and members and people, citizens, we are cutting. We're cutting, but we're trying to cut three programs where, again, a lot of the money have really not been started yet. I think maybe Mr. Michigan is going to, I mean, the Chief was dead. They had no money. The ninth semester may have had one appropriation, and Bridge really hadn't started yet. So in that regard, we're not cutting, but we are cutting on some of the, with the other caps. And there, I think it ends up, Mr. Berg can help me, with about a $4 million then that spread that's going to be done in the, no, but what the 23 coming? Mr. Berg, we're holding public testimony on the record, Representative Carlson and Solberg, to their word that we are going to get $23 million. That's going to follow this in replace of the tax that I had. And so, in that regard, I think we end up with a $4 million shortfall then in the state grant program that will be prorated and shouldn't really hurt. As much as the hurt would have been had we had that $43 million shortfall. So, Representative Dornes.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to bring up, you talked about the legislature never cutting the grant program, state grant program, and that's a fact. But I remember there was a time when we had to use some proration on the fund so that some of the students received some cuts because there wasn't enough money to. Isn't that true?
We never have prorated the fund.
Okay, then
the language has been in statute for some 30 years. It's never been used.
Then I'm thinking of something else.
This
work,
is
work study was prorated.
Maybe it's work study. I stand corrected.
This is the first time we're doing this, and it doesn't make me happy to do it. And I'm not the person that wants to cut, and I've never run for office for anybody in this room that said I wanted to cut government. I said I wanted to help government help people. So I'm hoping that I have a number of votes from the other side of the aisle when I'm cutting, because it's not what I want to do. I would have raised 80-some million dollars so that the University of Minsky wouldn't have been cut. But I don't think I have the votes for that, but I think I had the votes for my little tax increase. But I didn't know for sure. But the good thing is nobody else did either. So, with that, we're going to look at amendments and entertain amendments. The second part of the economic development part of the bill did not change with that. And so we're in the same situation. We're using that A4 amendment. And so I will entertain amendments. And so we have a number of amendments. Are there any questions on the bill itself now as it sits? Okay. Who's going to start? Who's offering amendments? Who's got amendments? Representative Clark? Sure. Or Representative Welty? Who wants to start here? Somebody help me out, because I don't know what's going on. The room's crowded. And
Mr. Chairman, I'll start because I think one of the witnesses I was going to have talk with me.
Okay, this is the Clark amendment. What's the amendment?
It's A15.
We'll pass it out. The A15 amendment, Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, and I guess I'd like to ask Michael Harrisall. And I'm not sure if David is still here. Is he still here? Okay. This is, because everybody got it?
A15 amendment, and make sure the audience gets the rest, particularly those who it might involve. I'm sure that the university would like to see this amendment. Welcome to the committee. Would you identify yourself for the tape, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Mike Harrisall. I'm the Vice President for Public Policy at Hennepin County Medical Center.
And Mr. Chairman, if I can...
Jeff? Right there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I could just explain what the amendment does, and then he can provide testimony. And I'll just very briefly, the amendment just says that the reductions for the graduate family medicine education in Hennepin County must be prorated in terms of reductions similar to the other ones in that section. And this is I'll let our witness talk a little bit about it, but this is an ongoing, I think since the 1970s, program that we want to make sure continues. My understanding is unless we put this language in, it would be eliminated. So I'll have the witness speak.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative, thank you. This does go back to 1971, and it basically is had been a special appropriation for family medicine resident training at Hennepin County Medical Center, and that has been a stream to Hennepin County Medical Center since that time. Even in the early 1980s, when technically this changed from a special to an operational type appropriation, it was documented at that time that the intent of this, and in fact very specifically, there was a clear understanding between the legislature and the university that the university would continue to distribute the appropriated funds to Hennepin and other hospitals. And so this simply memorializes that which was the understanding of so many years ago.
Okay. The university like to come up and talk about it. We got two coming. We need more chairs. Fitz, you sit in his lap. Welcome. Go ahead, whoever's going to go first, just for the tape.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Richard Fitzenreiter. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at the University of Minnesota. My understanding of the amendment is simply one in which, under the health sciences special that currently, in your original bill, was $5.275 million. That's my understanding what you're... the amendment before you simply asks us if we reduce that or are forced to reduce that appropriation by actions in this bill as well as actions taken by the governor in unallotting the state specials. So there's two cuts occurring. I want everybody in this committee to know that the governor unallotted the state specials, and this committee is further cutting those same state specials, that this amendment would require us, I guess, to be proportional in the reduction within the specials, is the way I read the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, it's for this one program that we're specifically talking about here.
Mr. Chairman, members.
Graduate Family Medical Education Program at Hennepin County. You have
Mr. Chairman, we have...
Maybe for the committee's information, explain the how the unallotment worked that's different. Is it different than what I did as far as the proration?
Mr. Chairman, the governor's unallotment was prorated and your reduction is prorated. Where I'm struggling with the amendment somewhat is within the health science, after we get to a new number for the health sciences special, we have a biomedical engineering program funded out of that special. We have a rural physician's associate program funded out of that special. We have the St. Cloud residency program funded out of that special. We have the vet diagnostic lab funded out of that special. We have a health sciences research program in the School of Public Health financed out of that special. And we have a research and public service funding program out of that special. So I'm still not sure what this amendment's doing to that, those programs. But what I think you're trying to do is make sure we don't cut this particular sub-program or appropriation or allocation that we give proportional. That's the way I think I'm reading.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzenritter, and I think Ms. Novak, what the amendment intention is that this particular program, after this prorated reduction on line 35, members, I think it is, that the cut to this particular program wouldn't be any greater than to the other programs just mentioned by Mr. Fitzenberger. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding of the author's intent.
So what's your, what do you think of it then? Is that the way you would have done it anyway?
Not necessarily.
But it's not but that bad.
But I think it's...
But you can live with it.
I think we can live with it.
Okay. Would you like to comment, sir? You can live with it, too, for the record. Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next amendment. We'll just stick with higher education amendments. Next amendment, please. Okay. Somebody.
I'll do an A8.
The next amendment is the A8 amendment, and it is in appropriations reduction section 21. Whose amendment is that?
That's mine.
Representative Poppy, do you know, have the amendment? Do you know the amendment?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. The A8 amendment is about appropriation reductions. It just makes it clear that any reduction in appropriations for the biennium to the central office will not be passed back to the institution or campuses. And I've been made aware of a number of times when there's a charge back to the campuses for different services that are done, and I just want to make it clear that as the cuts are being made, and I think we all are have some concerns about the cuts that are being made, obviously, but I just want to make sure that the people closest to the students, those at the campuses and institutions, will not be facing greater reductions based on the fact that we're going to be having to do that.
I think Ms. Novak helped me out, but in the bill that we have the reduction to the central office, we have the reduction to the administration, and then the rest we require to be reduced just like this amendment says, right? Or is this clarified further?
Mr. Chair, it is addressed somewhat on page 3 of the B3 amendment on lines 10 to 12.
Does this hurt anything other than what my intention was?
No.
Okay. We have the A8 amendment. Does anybody want to talk against the amendment? All those in favor then signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. The next higher education amendment is...
I'll do an A9.
Do the A9 amendment. Representative Poppy.
On the A9 amendment, there is going to, I'm just going to delete lines 1.3 and 1.4 as for, this is a, last evening we heard Representative Hawes, he had the credit transfer. This is a little bit different version of a credit transfer language, and I just wanted it to be included in the bill so that as it goes into conference committee, you'll be able to discuss not just the USELECT and DARS reporting system and how that works, but also how you're going to get to a situation within the colleges to agree that there should be some transferability that can happen more smoothly and seamlessly. And the other piece of this amendment talks about the Common Course numbering and that there'd be a moratorium to some degree on Common Course numbering until after this is more fully resolved.
I don't know. Did you say that you are...
I'm deleting
1.3 and 1.4.
So I'm not deleting Representative Hawes's language in the bill. This is just additional language that would speak to a little bit different issue on the credit transfer.
Representative Mahoney.
Yes, we do.
B3. We've substituted the A1 amendment to the B3, the lead on.
Before we go any further, if I might recommend to Representative Poppy that she, on line 1.2 should change B2 to B3.
Oh. Sure. Yeah. So actually, I will have to amend this on 1.2 to say B3 and on 1.3 and 1.4 to delete those two lines.
We will just have staff take the the B3 amendment. Yes.
Just for clarification, I think you'll still need to leave the word insert.
Oh,
page
thank you.
11.
I suppose.
We will have the...
So.
Yeah. Staff, council, fix this up. Is there... You know, Representative Poppy, I don't really know what the cost or if the cost is going to be here. I don't know. Representative Haas, do you have any comment on this since it kind of goes...
Well, it's more aggressive, obviously.
Is there anyone from Minsky that wants to talk about this? One way or the other? Is there... I don't see anybody, so they must not mind it, Representative Poppy. All those in favor, signify by saying... Yes, Representative Solberg.
Let me just ask a question, if I may. There's no one makes official on this committee, but as we are looking at some of these things, I would caution that we don't want to have to go down the road of getting a fiscal note on some of these things. So just a low red flag.
And that's why I'm asking Minsky if they think there is a cost to this.
And
here's somebody's coming forward.
You just don't want to. I'm not talking about the merits of it. I'm talking about the
And that's. Thank you, Representative Silver. That's why I asked if anybody from Minsky wanted to talk on the amendment. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike Lopez, Associate Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs. I do want to say we are, as the committee has been told, initiating a number of responses to the findings of the Office of the Legislative Auditor in respect to transfer. We are moving forward some policies that will address the concerns that have been raised and are also working with students to address issues related to transfer. One concern that we might have with the proposed amendment is in lines 118 to 122, at a time when our budgets are being cut, convening working groups of faculty, staff, and administrators does represent a cost. We're required, for example, and this comes out of the system office budget, if a faculty member, for example, travels from a campus that's far away, it can cost as much as $300 or $400 to cover the cost for that faculty member to attend those working groups. We do try to use technological means of conducting meetings, but again, a lot of times the preferences are for folks to meet face-to-face, we are concerned that those would entail some significant cost.
Mr. Lopez, so you are saying that you're a little concerned about it. I think you understand that the committee is a little concerned about the whole issue of credit transfer, and I hope that that issue will be conveyed. Representative Poppy, I supported your last amendment, but I this one, I don't know if we're going to start seeing fiscal notes or have to see fiscal notes. That, I got some concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just this is really modeled on in the past when the Minnesota transfer curriculum was developed, and really looking at making sure that faculty are at the table as much as everybody else, and that I really do believe that we need to kind of have the battle to get some things done with regards to transfer and making sure it's seamless. And I also am concerned about the Common Course numbering part of this, because I know that typically comes up. And I'm very concerned that we go down a road on Common Course numbering before we actually understand what the crux of the issue is. And so I wanted to be able to put forth the amendment.
We have the amendment in front of us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail.
Thank you.
The next amendment. The next amendment, I have a technical amendment that fixes up from last year the issue that we had for the university, wherever they went, has asked for clarification on the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. I believe, Mr. Fitzgerald, that you're okay with this. Page 11, line 8, balance insert after March 11, 2010. Don asked for this, I believe, for clarification on the correction we have.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the appropriate response today is we can live with it.
Good. All those in favor then signify by saying we can live with it.
We can live with it.
All those opposed. Representative Wealthy offers the following amendment, the A14 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is kind of a combination between higher education and the deed funds. What we're doing here is, you'll notice that there was a reduction made to the Mayo U of M Genomics Partnership, and what this does is essentially restores the funding to that partnership, and the way it does it is it captures some of the money that you have essentially saved in the tails from canceling Achieve, and then also it takes dollars from the carry forward, which I understand there's $4.5 million in carry forward from the Job Skills Partnership. So we're taking a couple pots of money, putting it towards this initiative, and the justification, members, that I have for this is just the fact that the Mayo U of M Genomics Partnership has been now going for a couple of years. The research is producing great results, leading to new treatments, new breakthroughs in a lot of areas, and we're already seeing in our area of the state, and not only that, but throughout the university, the collaboration that this has brought forward is leading to new jobs, it's leading to new spin-off companies, and I think when we can combine healthcare, higher education, and jobs, we're doing something good, and I would really be disappointed if we go forward with the cut to the U of M Mayo Genomics Partnership. So members, I offer this to save that funding.
Comments, members? Listen, I don't want to cut anything in this bill. And I hope that we down the road address the 36 that's being cut, or and the 11 or 10 and a half that's being cut at Minsky, and the unallotments that have happened without our permission. But Representative Welty we get everything prorated. Representative Solberg's sitting in this room, and he has the Coleraine lab under the NRI, and the NRI is in the system. I believe it's would come under system specials, and they're being cut $328 million. And they do research that is trying to see how we, one of the research issues they have is how do you mine copper nickel properly so we can have all of those things that you're discovering down there need a lot of those instruments, and that's the way they operate. And I don't really think it's fair to fill the hole in one cut and not fill it in all the other ones, including the health science specials that we just heard. So members, I hope you would oppose the amendment, because this hasn't been easy for me to cut, and I've tried to cut as fairly as I could, and I told everybody how I was doing it up front. And some of the members have said that we have to cut everything equally, including, you know, the administration and all of the research people. And that's why I prorated it, because those are the people that are involved in these other cuts too. I wish I could help you, young man. I wish we could raise the money to just fix this whole bill, because I think it's terrible what we're doing to education. You know, I had a predecessor from the range by the name of Rudy Perpich, the last Croatian DFL governor, I might add. And he talked about the brain power state all the time. In fact, paid a lot of visits to Rochester, too, I know. And, you know, any time that this state has prospered, we put a lot of money into both K-12 and higher education, and we're not doing that, and it bothers me greatly. But I'm just talking the fairness issue. Representative Norris.
Mr. Chair, just pointing out, and it probably is not important, but that amendment also was written to the B-2.
I know. We're going to. We instructed staff to correct
all
of them.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so you got the amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail. Now we have the 8-13 amendment. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'd hoped Representative Welties would pass and I wouldn't have to do this, but for those of you that maybe don't know so much about the Genomics Partnership, it breaks my heart to have to make this cut, because the University of Minnesota has talked time and time again before this committee and across the state about how valuable research is. Having heard your message with that last vote, I think I will be able to vote for this bill with a genomics cut in it. If I understood and believed that the University of Minnesota would not come back to the partnership, which they have been doing for the last several years outside of this body's actions, we choose not to cut it. They use it as part of their budget cuts every year. $3 million the first year, $300,000 or so last year. They keep taking it out. So what I'm saying is, if we're going to proportionally cut the genomics partnership, and I'm going to support that, that they not go back to the genomics partnership and cut that funding when they've been given their target. So that's what I'm asking, is just to say that they'll take the cut. It's in the tails. It's ongoing. You know, I can live with that if I have to. I don't like it, but I can live with it. But I don't want them to go back and balance the rest of their cuts on the partnership. So I ask for your support on A13.
Comments from the committee? Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question. You used the word partnership and genomics project. Are they one and the same?
Yes.
Thank you.
Representative Welt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, I would just echo those comments. We have seen, after the cuts have been made at the legislature, that then the negotiations go on between the University of Minnesota and Mayo, and they get further reduced. And so if we're already making a cut to the budget, which we see as a line item now, you can pretty much bet that without this amendment, there's going to be another cut. So it's going to be a double cut. So I'd encourage all members to support this amendment.
Mr. Fitzenritter is coming forward. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe you... I'm understanding in this amendment is, I think the amendment is trying to say that, members, that the EU won't go after unfairly any more of the $427,000 that's been cut annually. But I think maybe the way that this is written is that it stops the university from doing any...
Mr. Chairman, I think I can clarify this.
Okay, go ahead.
The UMayo partnership is a state special now. That's the way it's in your bill. We can't, by law, cut it any more than you cut it, because you created it as a state special. In the past, it has not been a state special. Right now, it is a state special. Right, Mr. Byrne?
Yeah.
It is a restricted state special.
Mr. Fitzenreiter is right. That is a named, it's an identified line item special.
You can't cut it. More than you do.
We don't need the amendment.
That's correct.
Representative Norton.
Well, this makes me nervous because it was just cut again, 300,000 this last summer.
That was the unallotment that the governor did.
No. No, the university made a cut at this last summer.
Representative Norton.
The regents voted on it.
Mr. Fitzenreiter.
Mr. Chairman, members, I don't know if the $300,000 cut occurred for this fiscal year net of 10. The cut would have been, I think, in fiscal 9, and it wasn't a state special then. Now it's a state special, so it's protected from reductions unless you make them. The cut that was made was before when it wasn't a state special.
If that's the case and we're on record and it's not needed, that's fine. What I don't want to find out is that, again, for the third year in a row, that the university is going to balance its budget on the genomics partnership. That's all I want.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I want to assure the committee that we will not break the law.
There you go.
And
you can live with it.
I can live with it.
Are you okay then? You withdrawing the amendment?
Would it hurt if it was in there?
Representative Mahoney.
If Representative Norton does withdraw this amendment, before she does, I do want the university to know that the shenanigans they do with numbers sometimes strains the trust that they work very hard to build up here. And I fully understand the frustration of Representative Norton on this issue and some others from the university.
Well, just to make sure, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. Can live with it.
See, I'm getting much more diplomatic.
President Poppy,
I'd like to do the A11. I'll do the A11, please.
A11 amendment.
Representative Poppy offers the A11 amendment. Dealing with the Central Systems Office.
Yes, it is. Dealing with the Central System Office at Minsky. And it is just actually putting in statute what it is that they would be required to have as duties and establishing a Central System Office. And I would like this included in the bill.
Representative Poppy, I don't really think there's anything in here that I would disagree with, I guess. Maybe we'll have a question. We'll have the central office come up and the chancellor's office come up and look at it. We'll give them a little time. Go ahead and continue with what your intent here is.
As I understand it, there currently is not specified
duties
and information spelled out in statute, and I just think that it would be appropriate. We seem to have a discussion about the central office on a fairly regular basis, and it would be nice to have, this is what they're specified to do, the general duties, which would be to coordinate some things at the system level, but also to underline 1.8, 1.9, that they must not assume responsibility for services that are most effectively and efficiently provided at the institution level.
Is there anyone from the chancellor's office that would like to comment on the central system office? Well, welcome. Morgan, I always trust your judgment. You are one of the most, you have one of the most trustworthy faces in the Capitol.
Thank you. Judy Borgen, Office of the Chancellor. Certainly our board is the one who kind of, says what the institution does. I assume we could live with this, but, I would have to ask other people. I really can't speak on behalf of the chancellor or the board in this case.
But it sounds like I can live with it, doesn't it?
There are lots of things we do certainly listed in it. So.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Then Poppy, do you have, are you done now?
I will forego my next one, and I do have a bill that was introduced today that people may want to reference, and we may be able to address this again.
Well, we may, if
in the future.
You know, moving a policy bill through, we will give you a hearing on the entire bill.
I would appreciate
bill.
That. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any other higher ed amendments from the committee? From the audience? If not, we will move to...
I have a technical change.
Ms. Novak has a technical change. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, we need to make a technical change. Page 3, line 20, delete... $595,292,000 and insert $597,467,000. That's a base adjustment. And on page 4, line 11, delete $564,707,000. And insert $566,882,000. Again, the new numbers are on page 3, line 20, $597,467,000. And on page 4, line 11,
$566,882,000. Okay. Do we need a vote on that? Yes, okay. Yes. You heard that. I will move that amendment then, as requested by Ms. Novak. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Mahoney, we are now members working off the Article 2 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I want to make sure I'm...
The B, the A4 Article 2 amendment. H167-1A4.
And Mr. Chair, if I might ask Ms. Newman, because I have been handed over the course of the day three different amendments by at least two different people, I'm going to work off of the A2 amendment. No, I'm going to work off of what number, Ms. Newman?
Representative Mahoney, you're working off of the H1835A3 amendment.
Thank you.
We all have the wrong amendment.
Yep. I thought. We're working off of the A4 amendment.
Oh, yeah. No, right. That's okay.
We're going to use the bottom. We're going to use the A3 amendment. 1835A3 amendment. And they haven't passed it out yet.
Some people just have little computers in front of us.
The A3.
1835A3 amendment. And it's coming up.
The bigger one.
No.
iPads. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
There you go. Good point.
So this one, the A2 is...
Representative Mahoney moves the
H1835A3
amendment.
Mr. Chair, this is an amendment that pertains to electrical inspection at the Department of Labor and Industry, and I would like to call which one of the three, Mr. Tilley, up to testify about the amendment.
That's to fill in the blanks for the page and line.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Barry Tilley. I'm here representing the Contract Electrical Inspection Association. And I've been worked with the two different contractor groups and the IBEW representatives to put together this amendment. What this does is apply a $4.50 surcharge in addition to the existing surcharge that's been in effect since 1971 on all the permits issued by the Department of Labor and Industry. And the purpose of this is to raise some money to get enforcement of the various permits back out on the street. As you might recall, Mr. Chairman and committee members, this the fund that funds all of these was reduced by $1.5 million a year a couple of sessions ago, and it's $1.5 million every year. That comes from the permit fees paid by all the contractors to have inspections. When the money goes out of the fund, there's not enough money to do all the inspections for all of the different permits that are issued. And so this will backfill some of that money. We will then ask the department on the back page of the amendment to form a task force over the summer of all the stakeholders in the contracting community, electrical, plumbing, steam boiler, to come up with a mechanism, recommendations to the 2011 legislature to put in place a mechanism to enforce the permitting that's going on right now. What is happening, I can speak for the electrical field, is people are quitting, stopping taking out the permits because there's no follow-up. And so the permit fees are falling for the department, but most importantly for my electrical inspectors is the public safety is being really threatened. There's nobody out there collecting these fees. The good, upright contractors are buying their permits. There's some people out there that aren't, and they underbid the good guys, and we need to be able to enforce the permit laws. This will raise a little bit of money for 1 year only to put that in motion.
Mr. Tilley, just for the information of the committee, what's a little bit of money?
About $1 million is what the department, as my understanding, $1 million to $1.5 million, depending on how many permits are taken out. But the number of permits being applied for keeps dropping because nobody's following up. I mean, the follow-up is spotty.
A little bit of money, I guess. Representative
Murphy. Mr. Chair, is the task force in law already?
Representative Mahoney, you know that one, I think.
No, it is not.
And the plumbing in that board, the boards that you set up and worked with are going to have a say in this too, right?
Stakeholders from a whole industry.
Okay.
And to Representative Murphy's question, no, the task force is not in law at this particular time. And I see where you're going because it would have to go to state government finance, state government?
Or government operations.
Operations. So.
And then state government.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I would suspect that seeing how the department is okay with this, the commissioner could easily pull together the needed people to do this without it in law if they're going to come back and give us some recommendations. And then it would, your bill would not have to go to state government operations.
And Mr. Chair, I would suggest we do it that way then because it's only for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Where is the direction on the fees then? The current enforcement in that should have been taking place and inspections, this will allow them to take place, and we don't need the language because you'll be doing it, and what you need to say here can be done without any task force. Representative Mahoney, you moved to strike line 2.1 to 2.9 from the amendment and 1.26 on the previous page. And we still need the effective date for the line. We don't need the effective date either. Okay, Representative Mahoney moves to strike.
Well, we would need the effective date.
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, the effective date is essentially embedded in the language, except because it says that effective July 1st, 2010 until June 30th, 2011, the surcharge is effective.
And if I might just...
Go ahead, Representative.
I think staff can take care of the page and line number, but this is happening more and more often with our code inspections. I think when Representative Gunther chaired the Economic Development Committee 6, 8, 10 years ago, the pipe fitters and boiler makers had to increase the cost to themselves, to their licensing, to clean up 100,000 boilers that had not been inspected. Now we have buildings that are not being inspected, and I understand the problem that we're in. But I hope everyone realizes that for every action, there is a reaction, and you don't get a second chance very often with electricity.
Representative Welty and then Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, I guess I have two questions. First of all, first question, you had mentioned that about a million or a million and a half had been reduced in the previous years. Can you please clarify for the committee where those reductions came from or how those came about? And then second of all, you said that this permit or surcharge is only for a year. What is the money being used for? And if it's being used for employing people, are they going to be notified that their position is only covered for 1 year?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the $1.5 million was taken out by an action of a previous legislature, basically a rate on the fund to meet a previous shortfall. I mean, it happens.
Representative Welty, we took it in the economic development part of the bill. I believe we didn't have it last year in our bill, but the Senate had it in theirs, and I think previously it's been used since the 1812 bills back that Representative Carlson carried to balance and in the general fund. Right. We did agree to it in conference committee for that cut to that 1.5 million, if I'm not mistaken, coming from the construction court.
Mr. Chair, the governor's budget actually canceled the $1.5 million transfer each year last year. We would have canceled it just by any. I believe the House bill had that piece in it when we went to conference.
I was ready to blame the Senate.
The Senate did not have that in there, and we ended up agreeing to the Senate position that the transfer remained.
Okay. So.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman.
It was the Senate.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Welty, the second half of your question is, in the electrical inspections, there's two types of inspectors. One group is employed by the Department of Economic, Department of Labor and Industry, and the second is a group of contract electrical inspectors that basically work under contract with the department. And so that is a flexible amount of work. In addition, I should say that many cities issue their own electrical permits and have their own electrical inspectors.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is going to the Department of Labor and Industry then?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Representative Mahoney then...
Move my motion, Mr. Chair.
Lose his motion with the amendment, with the line 1.26 eliminated.
The thought, instead of directing the department to form a task force, could the language encourage them?
No. I don't believe if we mention it, it's going to have to take a trip to the government office.
Okay. Thank you.
Where is Mr. Rakowski? Is he here? Is there anybody from labor and industry here? No. Would you come up, ma'am? Not to put you on the spot, but you understand the intent, and are you okay with this amendment and then understanding the intent of what was just explained by us?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm Cindy Valentine, the Acting Deputy Commissioner at Labor and Industry. We have had conversations about things like this at our department, and I think that, in your words, we can live with it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Johnson. Okay, Representative...
Did we vote on that, Mr. Chair?
Oh, sorry, that's right. I just thought we could live with it. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion approved. Representative Mahoney offers the 81-5 amendment. Representative Mahoney, regarding the plumbing rules. Expedited rules.
Actually, I...
No, actually, I don't offer that one.
Oh, you're not offering this one?
Someone else can, but I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I actually have that. I have that.
Do you have that one?
Yes, I do. And I think Mr. Crimmins might come forward and answer some questions.
Representative Bly offers the 815 amendment.
Mr. Crimmins.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and committee members,
this is what it's gotten to this evening, man. Waterless toilet. Urinals.
Urinals. Just urinals. We've been...
Well, that's better than water.
Waterless urinals
have
been...
I'm not talking about your house, Mr. Chair.
...for a couple of years, and the plumbing board took up action, and waterless urinals have been approved by two international codes. The plumbing board has approved them, but the department has said they want to go to full rulemaking that could take a year to 18 months, and we think, with water conservation being a very important issue, everybody's in agreement that we would ask that the board be granted expedited rulemaking just for this one product, to bring it forward, get it moved through the system, and get it out into the workplace.
Okay. And Representative Mahoney, I do have a waterless toilet at my house. It's called an outhouse.
I knew that. I've been to your house.
But I let you use the indoor plumbing.
Yeah, I know.
Next time I won't.
Mr. Chair, next time don't threaten to shoot me when I drive by your house.
That was for another
reason.
Okay, any questions on this by anyone? And how about the department? Ms. Valentine, you want to come up on this?
How does this work? There's no water?
I realize you may not be privy to this, but
trying to think of something to say. I think this is something that labor and industry can live with.
Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any other amendments? Representative Reiner has a couple of amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would offer the A-17 first.
Mr. Reiner offers the A-17 amendment.
And members, while this comes around, this is a technical correction, and staff can explain it.
I think, did we make this correction today?
Mr. Chair and members, this correction was made in Representative Gunther's bill, but it didn't, when the bill was drawn up, it didn't get engrossed into it, so we need to do this again.
Remember, we had talked about the hair breather, taking it out of your bill, putting it in toxicology,
everything.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Representative Reiner.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'll offer the A7 amendment. While it comes around, Mr. Chair, while it comes around, members, this comes back to the cosmetology board issue that we discussed, was it just last night?
Yeah.
Wow.
It
feels like it. Members, one of the issues that came up when we were talking to the board was whether or not they couldn't handle some sort of temporary licensure process in order to try and even out their flow. And what I'm going to suggest is an amendment that we gave them a deadline. We said in 15 days you need to either approve or not approve a license, or at least let the applicant know that you're on the track to approve or not approve. If we're going to ask them to, my position is I think they need to do business differently before they start spending additional resources. So what my amendment does is give them a third option, and that is to grant a temporary license to an applicant who has completed their application, paid their fee, and does not have any negative complaint or board action on record against them. So if you're out there, you're doing your work, you don't have any issues, you come for renewal or application, you can operate under a temporary license, and the board can get around to you
when they have time to get around to you. I mean, this is the way local government across the state is dealing with these sorts of issues, and I think the board can as well. So I'd appreciate your support.
Is there anyone that wants to talk on this amendment? So basically, Representative Reiner, you just are saying if they can't handle it, give them a temporary if they've never had any health complaints or anything else. I think it's a very good amendment. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to offer a caution. I wouldn't argue to oppose the amendment, but I would point out that when we start dealing with rulemaking, we're dealing with the jurisdiction of another committee. And this is a major budget balancing bill, and we can't have it pulled by rule into that other committee, which is basically the Government Operations Committee is the one that deals with rulemaking. So what I think we're going to have to do is have an understanding that we check with the Government Operations Committee chair that the rulemaking changes or setting rules aside will be okay. And if I recall the rules, I think there is a provision with an appropriations bill where you can check with that committee chair, and if he basically waives the opportunity to call it into his committee, he can do that. But should he make that request, we just simply can't have this budget balancing bill going through additional committees. So I just want to put that word of caution out there, and if the authors of these amendments would check with Representative Pawlowski and check on that rule, I think it would be helpful. I'm not arguing to oppose it. I'm ex officio. I can't oppose it anyway. I don't have any problem with either amendment. It's just that they deal with the rulemaking issue, and that opens up another issue.
Representative Carlson, to that point, we're not making any rules here.
So. Setting the rule aside or expediting. Yeah. I'm just pointing out, Mr. Chairman, a word of caution that I don't want to be on the House floor and have it have the whole bill jerked back.
Representative Reinert, how about as this is just for your consideration, you can do whatever you want, but why don't we leave this off for this evening? You show it to Representative Pawlowski, and I will put it in on the bill in finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Whichever way you want to check with Representative Pawlowski is fine with me, just so it's
Representative
Mr. Chairman, checked. Representative Carlson, I'm not interested in holding up the bill. I do think that this does need to be addressed, though, so I'll work with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll withdraw the...
Mr. Chair, Representative Reiner, does this mean, when I read this, it says the initial, that means the first time that they're receiving a license?
It's initial or renewal.
So that would mean, Representative Reiner, that if they wanted to open a shop, have the license for that shop, and they didn't get it in time, they could still open a temporary, or they could get a temporary license, open the shop, and then in the time period that they're waiting for the real license, if their background was reviewed, and they would come back and said, but you gave me a temporary, so that means I made this great investment in all this equipment and in the rent, and in I've got a contract for rent, and you can't deny me now.
Representative Reiner, you want to tell her your story? I think she wasn't here the other night.
Mr. Chairman, I'll tell Representative Murphy the story offline, but the problem we're trying to address is that essentially that's occurring now. We have folks filling out applications and paying fees and waiting and waiting and waiting to get a license. And meanwhile, they have holding costs on the space. They've hired employees, let employees go. And the issue I'm trying to address here specifically, members, and then I'll let this go and work with the chair on this later, is salon owners and cosmetologists get a handbook when they want to start up, and it says that the department or the board will do a temporary license. But when they call and ask, the board says, no, we have rules against that. So, I want to do something consistent. I think there's a process here, but I'll work with the chair, and I'll withdraw the A7 amendment for now.
Are there any other amendments? Comments on the bill? Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, on the labor and industry part, on the contractors recovery fund, I wonder if I could ask some questions on that to the labor and industry people. This is on page 4. They're taking $725,000. Sign risk. Could you go through those two cuts for us, please? I think I have. I know a person who's got some money coming from a lawsuit, and it's in one of these funds.
Before Ms. Valentine testifies, Representative Gunther, I don't know if you were when I initially talked about it today, but I believe it's a surplus, or there's a $2.1 million, or $2.4 million in the contractor recovery fund where the homes are, and there, I think, is about $2 million in the other fund, $3 million. So there seems to be adequate, and I think Mr. Kowski implied to me that they didn't have a problem with this, but Ms. Valentine.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gunther, the assigned risk safety account is built from revenues of penalties for workers' compensation and construction codes. This cut would compromise our ability to make safety grants to employers throughout Minnesota for safety equipment for employee use.
How much is left in the fund after you take it?
After you take $700,000 out of it, sir?
Yeah.
Approximately.
No, wait, no, you said the assigned risk for taking $725,000.
I'm sorry. Approximately $2.5 million.
Okay, and would you want to ask anything on the other, on the contractor fund?
Under normal usage of that fund, how long is that fund going to be in jeopardy of running out?
Mr. Chair, it depends on the penalties that we assess in workers' compensation and construction codes.
My question was, under normal conditions, is that going to be sufficient the way we have it in this bill?
To get through the biennium.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gunther, I think the transfer of that amount of money out of our fund would compromise some of the work that we do, and we would simply have to either do less grants or find other ways of accommodating the other uses of our fund.
I think it sounded like a we can live with this.
I'm waiting for her to say that, Mr. Chairman.
She isn't saying it, but I've been led to believe that.
Okay. Let's hope you're right.
And I need money to balance the budget. And Representative Gunther,
I understand that very well.
Difficult the situation.
I understand
that
completely.
In fact, I'm much better off because you have to make hundreds of millions of dollars of cuts when you were the chair and take a lot of general fund money away from a lot of good programs. We're not doing too bad here this evening.
I understand.
Thank you, Mr. Valentine. I appreciate your honor. I think we can make it through. Any other questions on the bill? Comments from the audience? Anyone's comments from the audience?
Let's talk to Cindy before she leaves.
Okay. this is Cecilia Jackson, our CFO.
Ms. Jackson, come up and welcome to the committee.
With that, it says it must be re-referred. By the chair. Well, we can.
Mr. Chair, Cecilia is telling me that although there wasn't a follow-up question about the contractor recovery fund, this is a fund that reimburses homeowners
right.
who have bad service from a building contractor. We have. Excuse me.
There's a notification.
Have paid out $1 million so far this fiscal year. There's another 1.5 that must be paid by July 15th, and it currently $300,000 that will need to be paid by the end of the year. The $300,000 amount is likely to go up. I believe that the cut in the contractor recovery fund is might be something that perhaps we can't live with.
I don't know to which of the testifiers, but being that the construction season starting up in a few months, what kind of fee is placed to replenish the fund?
Mr. Chair, I'm Cecilia Jackson, the Chief Financial Officer for Labor and Industry. The fees are generated from the light residential contract, residential building contractors' fees. And those fees are brought into the agency between January and March of each year. So the construction season is not tied to when we receive the monies for those for the contractor recovery fund. The other item that happened is, and the reason that the current fund looks like, you know, it's plentiful, is that we are now on a two-year license renewal for residential building contractors. And so this year we actually have brought in a little more revenue than we had in the past. So it shows that there is more of a balance there. Next year that number will be reduced. Our revenues will be lower because we're getting into this two-year cycle. And that's why it looks like there is more money now than we've had in the past. And it looks like that we have a bigger operating balance. And before coming over, Ms. Valentine is correct that we have obligations. We've already paid $1 million this year. We have obligations of the $1.5 million. We have another $300,000, and that it looks like it will move up to closer to $1.5 million. So we're looking at, if these dollars are cut, we're looking at next year, and the amount that we'll be able to pay out in contractor recovery fund will be nominal.
I think there might be also some savings to the fund, though, because one of the laws that's coming through now is capping fees that can be recovered from the fund to 75 for condominiums, too, where we've had several hits to the fund on that point, too, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe you can comment on that if that's true.
I just understand that the fees or the cap amount moved from $50,000 to $75,000, but I'm not clear on exactly how that works, but I know we are paying out more.
Well, members, we have to find money in certain places, and you know, Department of Labor and Industry doesn't have much general fund money. I didn't want to cut them or their administration because they have so little. It's the only general fund money I think they have is left in their minimum wage laws and prevailing wage reinforcements and those types of things, so it was a place to get some money. I think we can make it work, members. I thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Overmuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to weigh in, I guess, on this, what we're doing with state grants, and I recognize that this is not your preference, so maybe this will just give you a chance to say again how you would fix this problem. And I just think it's a real struggle for me to see how we're distinguishing between the for-profit 2 years, the private 2 and 4 years, and our state schools. And I recognize the urge to do that because it's a state grant program, state money going to state schools. But that straight student grant and aid actually talks about encouraging educational development in eligible institutions of their choosing for the men and women of Minnesota. And, you know, we're making these cuts, and they're painful. I'm going to vote for it today because I know it has to be done. But we're really doing a disservice to the state and the people who take advantage of this program. This is our future, and we're cutting it, and that's pretty troublesome.
Representative Overmuller, I couldn't disagree with you more, and that's why I pushed and pushed and pushed until I got pushed back to the point that, you know, I was seeing black out of this eye this morning. There were black spots in it, and I was having a stroke. Some folks settled me down. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. I wish we could make the program whole. I wish we didn't have the cuts. Keep in mind that our public institutions have two unallotments and cuts that we've had to make. taken some really, really heavy hits since we were able to get a little money back in the system in 2007. And, you know, I had looked at taking the private not-for-profits and lowering their grants to make them have the same type percentage-wise of hit, but I just couldn't do it. And I had to find money somewhere because I didn't know, like I said, if I had the votes to get out of this committee or into tax surcharge. I, you know, government needs to invest in people. I believe that. I'm not the person that wants to cut. You know, I understand the terrible times we're in and the cuts that have to be made, but I still said, and I'll say it again, that we had an agreement that I thought was to balance through increased revenue and cuts. And a lot of those options have been taken off the table, so I appreciate your comments. And I won't disagree with you at all. Representative Reinert and Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, Representative Obermueller, I think, is spot on. And, you know, I don't think any educator who spends any time in the classroom doesn't understand that there's a full spectrum of education. And when it comes to higher education, you know, I happen to be mostly in a Minsky two-year community college. But, you know, maybe it's one of the pluses that I see students flow through my classroom who either came from or will go to a for-profit, came from or will go to a private nonprofit, came to or will go to a four-year MNSCU, came to or will go to the university. I mean, I see that full spectrum. And, you know, what we're being forced to do is to make some priorities based on limited resources. And, you know, there was a time in this committee last session, you know, we all have times, I think, when we go home at night and wonder if we really want to come back the next day. And, for me, it was last session when I realized that for the first time ever in the history of the state of Minnesota, students were going to pay the majority funding for our higher education versus us as people in the state of Minnesota. And it, to me, spoke volumes about our values or lack thereof around higher education. And, you know, I think this is another chip at that block. But I guess I will reluctantly be supporting it today as well.
Sam Hahn.
Well, and we don't do this with the three R's, and, you know, it's reduction and revenue and reinvestment, and you just do reduction. There's no way in hell people aren't going to feel the pain. It can't be done. It's an arithmetic equation, and you're going to hurt people in the process, and you have to give the best balance that you can. I compliment you and compliment people from both sides of the aisle on that balance. But we're starting to set those colleges in competition to each other, and they actually are in complementary to each other. And they're all serving a really unique purpose, and it's a very Charlotte's Web existence. And we have them in St. Cloud, a stone's throw from my house, and all of them are important. But what are you going to do? You have to balance the equation. It's pretty simple and it's pretty linear. And I compliment you for the job that you've done. And I wish that we would be balancing it with the three R's. And we've thrown revenues away, and that's the way it is. And you've done the best job, I think. And I salute you for that and for the leadership that has allowed it to put a little balance into it. So thank you much. And thanks on both sides of the aisle for putting a bill out here that does the best in the worst situation.
I thought you were saying reluctantly that the dean is right, the three R's, right?
I can. I used to coach track and wrestling and math. I was running wrestling and arithmetic.
Testimony from the audience. Is there anybody who wants to come up and testify on the bill for or against it? If not, then members, thank you so much. I'm going to Representative Anderson, excuse me. Representative Anderson, roll call. But I, at first, I'm going to have to Representative Haas moves to amend his House File 1835 as follows. We're going to move
the B3 amendment as amended and the A4 amendment as amended. And so, and I'll take those as individual motions, and then staff, we're going to instruct to make any changes that you knew that we wanted made. Okay. Let's move first then. Representative Haas moves House File 1835. We're going to I'm going to move the B3 amendment, or he moves the B3 amendment as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Representative Haas moves the A4 amendment as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Representative Haas moves now that House File 1835 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the full Finance Committee. Representative Anderson. Oh. Any other comments?
We can live with it.
Clerk will take the roll.
Rubino.
Pass.
Anderson.
Pass.
Atkins. Bly.
Aye.
Reinert.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Detmer.
Pass.
Downey.
No.
Eastland. Gunther. Hawes.
Aye.
Mahoney.
Aye.
McFarland.
Yes.
Murphy.
Aye.
Nornis.
No.
Norton.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Poppy.
Aye.
Reinert.
Pass.
Slocum.
Aye.
Welty.
Aye. Aye.
Clerk Covina votes aye.
Anderson votes no.
Detmer votes no.
There being 12 A's and 4 nays. Representative Reiner.
Aye.
Representative Reiner votes aye. There being 13 yes and 4 no. The motion prevails. The bill is passed to finance. Members, thank you so much. We'll see you because we still have some policy bills to do.
Yes, thanks for
meeting adjourned.